Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Lowe's knows how to get you ready for holiday hosting with up to 35% off select home decor. And get up to 35% off select major appliances. Plus, members get free delivery, haulaway, basic installation, parts, and a 2-year Lowe's protection plan when you spend $2,500 or more on select LG major appliances. Valid through 10-1. Member offer excludes Massachusetts, Maryland, Wisconsin, New Jersey, and Florida. Installed by independent contractors. Exclusions apply. See Lowe's.com for more details.
I'd like to offer a biblical perspective on some of the things happening around the world right now that could cause you to be fearful. Let's first take a look at four areas of concern for many people, many believers, and then I will explain to you why you should not be fearful. The threat of World War III dominates headlines. Political commentators and the like are looking and analyzing all of the scenarios about what's happening in Israel and what's happening between Russia and Ukraine, and even the potential role that the United States has in all of this. And some will tell you that World War III has already begun. Others will tell you that doomsday is merely moments away, or at the press of a button because of the nuclear arsenal of so many countries. But, dear Christian, this is no reason to fear, and I will explain why in a few moments. The second area is all about the universe. Notable journalist Tucker Carlson recently appeared on the Joe Rogan podcast and addressed the controversial subject of aliens and UFOs, and he said some very interesting things on the matter. A couple of key lines that he addressed, said when talking about UFOs, are as follows. And it's pretty clear to me that they're spiritual entities. They don't behave according to the laws of science, as measured by people. They've been here for a long time, and there's a ton of evidence that are under the ocean and under the ground. So, like, with that fact, what do you conclude? And if that wasn't enough, the European Organization for Nuclear Research, known as CERN, has been making headlines as they try to disprove God as the creator of all and prove that the Big Bang Theory is in fact correct. One article read as follows: Hunting for Ghost Particles, How CERN Plans to Search for a Better Understanding of the Universe. CERN is launching a project that researchers say could help them prove the existence of hidden particles that make up the fabric of the universe. Super colliders allow scientists to recreate the conditions of the Big Bang, the physical theory that describes how the universe initially expanded. Inevitably, this scientific quest has attracted conspiracy theories that say things like they are working to open up a portal to hell, or even to open a demonic portal. Many people wonder what's out there. What's deep in space? Is there any other life forms? Or is there another realm, another reality that can be accessed through science? The thought of what kind of answers may lie ahead can be a scary one. But let me tell you that this, too, is no reason to fear. Recently, the world's attention was captured by a solar eclipse. This led many to discussing the potential meaning of such an event. Was it God's warning? Was it a sign from God that judgment is coming to America? Or that judgment is coming to the world? Will there be a catastrophic weather phenomenon that will happen? Well, we will discuss this momentarily. The fourth and final area that I would like to highlight is the rise in Christian persecution. Look at these headlines. All of these can be worrying. All of these things can affect people differently, but I want to tell you two things. The first thing is that Bible prophecy has already told us the many things that will happen on this earth to mark the signs of the times. In Matthew 24, Jesus told us, "You will hear of wars and threats of wars, but don't panic. There will be famines and earthquakes in many parts of the world. Then you will be arrested and persecuted. You will be hated all over the world because you are my followers." And then he said that all of these signs are simply birth pains, meaning they will intensify. They will increase in frequency the closer we get to his return. The Amplified Translation in 2 Corinthians 4, verse 4 says, "Among them, the god of this world, Satan, has blinded the minds of the unbelieving to prevent them from seeing the illuminating light of the gospel of the glory."
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
Of Christ, who is the image of God. Those who have been blinded by Satan live under a delusion. Science may try to disprove the existence of God and claim that nothing plus nothing produced the Big Bang, and that resulted in the creation of all. This is not an attack on science. However, I encourage you to be discerning. The devil's motive is, and always has been, to disprove and discredit the work of God. So, it's nothing new. Now, the second thing I want to tell you is that when it comes to fear, you should only fear God. We are not to fear what's happening around the world. We are not to fear what may potentially happen, but we are only to fear God and God alone. Now, a lot of people don't understand the fear of God. Well, I would encourage you to watch the following.
In 1989, a new clothing brand was launched under the tag No Fear. The logo and tagline were a huge hit, especially among extreme sports enthusiasts. The motto seemed to encapsulate what adrenaline junkies lived for: thrills without fear. But extreme sports athletes aren't the only ones who want to overcome fear. In his inaugural address as president, Franklin D. Roosevelt sought to spark courage and hope amid troubling times by proclaiming, "The only thing we have to fear is fear itself." We like statements like that. We like slogans like, "No fear." We don't want to be afraid and fearful. And yet, fear exists. Everyone faces different fears, and levels of fear vary from person to person. From everyday healthy fear of danger to extreme phobias, fear is a part of life. But that doesn't mean that understanding and handling fear is easy. A complete lack of fear can lead to recklessness. Too much fear can be debilitating, and sometimes fears are irrational. Fear is a tough emotion. Stepping into the spiritual realm, fear brings new meanings and perhaps new questions. On one hand, God's word calls his people to overcome fear. Phrases like "do not fear" or "have no fear" appear hundreds of times. Trusting in God brings peace and tranquility that allows us to overcome fears. And yet, fear is still a difficult thing to navigate. Especially since, for all the times we are told, "don't be afraid," we also find that the fear of God is a prominent aspect of Scripture. If we shouldn't be fearful, why should we fear God? If God is loving and kind, why should he be feared? What does it even mean to fear God? Let's consider this biblical concept for a brief while. First, it's important to note that the fear of God vastly differs from common fears like fear of heights or spiders. When we speak of fear, we usually mean something like an unpleasant and often strong emotion caused by anticipation or awareness of danger. We fear heights because we are acutely aware of the dangers of falling. We are afraid of certain animals because of the threat they pose, and so on. But the fear of God is not just fearing God because he is dangerous. That is a part of fearing God, but not all of it. As we look to God's word, the phrase encapsulates a much larger and more beautiful meaning. We see that fearing God is not a bad thing, but actually a good and beneficial thing. When the Bible speaks of fearing God, there is an aspect of what we might consider normal fear. God is all-knowing and all-powerful. He is also perfectly holy and just. And while God is loving and merciful, he makes it clear that he will not simply overlook or tolerate sin and evil. God has always provided humanity with a way to be forgiven and to enter a relationship with him. But God has also declared that unrepentant and rebellious sinners will face his divine wrath. That's why Hebrews 10:31 says, "It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God." When we break the law, whether it's something like breaking the speed limit or something more serious, we are afraid of the police because of the punishment they can administer. But how much more should we fear divine punishment? This fear is a good motivator. God doesn't tell us about his wrath so that we live in constant trembling, but so that we consider our eternal fate and choose to avoid God's wrath by obeying him instead of our own sinful hearts. Fearing God's judgment is also a great motivator for sharing the gospel so others can turn to God. The Apostle Paul said in 2 Corinthians 5 verse 11, "Therefore, knowing the fear of the Lord, we persuade others." So, one benefit of fearing God is the motivation it provides. Fear of judgment is not the only aspect of fearing God, however. The concept is much more profound. Throughout the Bible, fearing God is often more about trusting and thus obeying God than merely being afraid of him. When Abraham was about to sacrifice his son Isaac, he was stopped by the angel of the Lord who said, "Do not lay your hand on the boy or do anything to him, for now I know that you fear God, seeing you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me." Abraham's fear was a complete devotion to God above all else. When we truly fear God, he is first in our life. Further, God doesn't give edicts arbitrarily. His commands are for our good. And when we fear and obey him, we are blessed. Deuteronomy 5 verse 29 says, "Oh, that they had such a heart as this always, to fear me and to keep all my commandments, that it might go well with them and with their descendants forever." Deuteronomy 10 verses 12 and 13 also say, "And now, Israel, what does the Lord your God require of you but to fear the Lord your God, to walk in all his ways, to love him, to serve the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and to keep the commandments and statutes of the Lord, which I am commanding you today for your good." Fearing the Lord is not a negative thing. It goes along with loving God and serving him wholeheartedly. Another clear indication that fearing God is positive is demonstrated by the devil. Job is described as a man who was blameless and upright, who feared God and turned away from evil. He was also a rich and powerful man. But when Satan slandered Job, he said to God, "Does Job fear God for no reason? Have you not put a hedge around him and his house and all that he has on every side? You have blessed the work of his hands, and his possessions have increased in the land." Satan accused Job of fearing God only because God had blessed him with wealth. Satan wasn't saying that Job was frightened by God. Declaring that Job feared God meant that he was devoted and faithful to God. Satan was saying that Job was only devoted to God because of his physical wealth. That, of course, was a lie, but it demonstrates an important understanding. Fearing God is about more than an emotion of alarm. Fearing God is about complete devotion to him. Another description of fearing God, or perhaps it would be better to say another benefit of fearing God, is what it leads to. Proverbs 1 verse 7 says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge." Proverbs 9 verse 10 says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom." Devotion to God leads to true knowledge and wisdom. Yes, we can gain knowledge through worldly means and secular education, but eternal knowledge and wisdom that leads to eternal life can only be found in the Lord. If we want to grow in spiritual knowledge and wisdom, we must trust God, obey God, and be devoted to God. One final example to consider is found in the early Christians. In Acts 9 verse 31 we read, "So the church throughout all Judea and Galilee and Samaria had peace and was being built up, and walking in the fear of the Lord and in the comfort of the Holy Spirit, it multiplied." The fear of the Lord was something the early Christians walked in. That means it was their manner of life. Their respect for God, their devotion to God, their trust in God, it guided every step of their way. And that fear of the Lord brought them comfort in difficult times, and it helped cause the church to grow. This might be the most remarkable example of how lovely the fear of the Lord is. When we fear the Lord, we find comfort that destroys all other fears. When we fear the Lord, we are built up and encouraged in ways impossible for those who deny Him. And when we fear the Lord, we grow spiritually. We might sum up fearing God as respect, or more accurately, reverence. An imperfect yet helpful analogy is that of children and parents. Good parents will love, teach, help, and guide their children. They will also correct and discipline them. Young children learn quickly to fear discipline, and thus they learn to behave in good and right ways. They fear disappointing and upsetting their parents. Now, this fear is not an ever-present and debilitating terror. It is a simple understanding that their parents expect proper behavior. And as children grow, what begins as a desire to avoid punishment grows into respect. Further, children trust their parents' protection. They depend on their parents' provision, and they love their parents. They want to be with them, please them, and be loved by them. Unfortunately, none of us are perfect parents or perfect families, but God is our perfect Heavenly Father, and as such, He deserves all of our awe, love, trust, and obedience, and yes, our fear. Simply put, He deserves our reverence. Of course, all the things we've considered are absent from those who don't fear the Lord. When someone doesn't fear the Lord, they don't take eternity seriously. This may sound brave to some, but it is foolish. A child might play on a highway, utterly unafraid of the danger. That doesn't mean the danger doesn't exist. Likewise, just because a person doesn't fear God's judgment, doesn't mean they won't be judged by God one day. Those who don't fear the Lord have chosen to trust in themselves instead of God. That is both an arrogant and a foolish decision. Those who don't fear God won't obey Him. When people, even religious people, choose to do things their way instead of God's way, it's a clear indication they don't fear the Lord. Whether it's doctrine, morality, worship, or other areas of spiritual life, when God's word is unheeded and man's ideas are promoted, that clearly indicates that the fear of the Lord is absent. This is a foolish way to go about life, which isn't surprising. If the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, then not fearing God is the beginning of folly. And without godly fear, we cannot expect encouragement, strength, comfort, or growth. We may find worldly strength, we might pursue carnal comfort, but unless we fear God, we will not find the spiritual strength and growth that only He provides. So, what about you? Do you fear God? Do you trust Him, lean on Him, love Him, and serve Him? Do you respect and obey Him? The fear of God is one of the most extraordinary things you can possess. For that fear, that reverence, can help you overcome all obstacles and lead you into the eternal presence of our perfectly holy and perfectly loving Father. If you fear God, there is no need for any other fear.
At a time when there's a lot of talk about biblical end-time signs, And people are looking at the skies expecting to see extraordinary things like the devil's comet and a solar eclipse. I'd like to offer a biblical worldview concerning other matters, which are more telling about the days we are living in. To begin, let's talk about CERN. CERN is a European organization for nuclear research, where physicists and engineers are probing the fundamental structure of the universe. If you go to their website, here's what their About page says. What is the universe made of? How did it start? Physicists at CERN are seeking answers, using some of the world's most powerful particle accelerators. Recently, CERN has made a number of headlines in the media. The BBC reported, CERN. Scientists search for mysterious ghost particles. Some physicists have long suspected that mysterious ghost particles in the world around us could greatly advance our understanding of the true nature of the universe. Now, scientists think they've found a way to prove whether or not they exist. Now, here's a key line that I want you to pay attention to. Astronomers have noticed things in the heavens, the way galaxies move, for example, that strongly suggest that all that we can observe makes up just 5% of the universe. We're living in a world where artificial intelligence is changing the way people work and even how people live. We're living in a world where implanted microchips are a reality, and people can pay using just their hands. We're living in a world where Elon Musk's Neuralink concept is actually a reality, and a brain-computer interface is fully implantable in someone, and designed to let them control a computer or mobile device anywhere they go. This is an age where we are seeing an incredible explosion of knowledge. Consider the five I wills of Lucifer, as found in Isaiah chapter 14, verse 13 to 14. I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. Don't you think man today is replicating this ideology somehow? By wanting to create something godlike with all the answers and infinite knowledge? The thirst for answers has built a demonic agenda in the minds of men. They want to perform actions that are above human abilities. Thus, they keep increasing knowledge and trying to bring their crooked thoughts to pass. Moving on, a lot of fanfare and debate has been happening online about the Red Heifer prophecy and whether or not it will cause Armageddon. This has undoubtedly created a lot of fanfare for doomsday enthusiasts and some evangelical Christians. Here's what Forward, a Jewish independent nonprofit media platform, reported in an article titled, Holy Cow, Can One Heifer Herald the Third Temple? And the end of the world as we know it? In the Bible, red heifers feature heavily in temple law. The cows must be pure red, without even two hairs of another color, or without any other form of blemish. In Judaism, this era is prophesied to mean the coming of a time that includes the return of biblical laws of purity, thus allowing for truly holy life. For evangelical Christians, it would herald the end times, the return of Jesus to earth, and the rapture. This belief has long driven Christian Zionism and Christian lobbying on behalf of Israel. For both groups, there are a few requirements for this time to arrive. The restoration of the nation of Israel, Jerusalem becoming a Jewish city again, which was accomplished, sort of, by Israel in 1967, and the birth of a red heifer to purify it all. Apparently, according to a breathless announcement in the UK tabloid The Mirror, a red heifer has been born, the first born in Israel in 2,000 years. Now, according to end-time biblical prophecy, there will indeed be a third temple of God in Jerusalem. Jesus prophesied a desecration of the temple to occur during the tribulation in Matthew 24, verse 15 to 18. Where the Bible says, So when you see standing in the holy place the abomination that causes desolation, spoken of through the prophet Daniel. Let the reader understand. Then let those who are in Judea flee to the mountains. Let no one on the housetop go down to take anything out of the house. Let no one in the field go back to get their cloak. Now, another interpretation about the significance of red heifers is that the is seen as a foreshadowing of the sacrifice of Christ for believers' sin, because Jesus died on a cross for our sins. Yet he was blameless and without blemish, just as the red heifer is to be without blemish. So what are we to make of all this as children of God? You can easily become so greatly consumed with all of the various news and information out there, and it can become overwhelming. If your question is, are we living in the last days? Well, I would like to tell you this. Rather than look at each and every event that is currently happening in the world, you should make sure that you have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Yes, it's good for us to take notes of the events happening in this world, but the focus of our lives should be to make sure that our individual relationships with God is in good standing. That's not to say we shouldn't be aware of the signs of the times, and as the Bible says in 2 Timothy 3, perilous times will come. The world will become unthankful, unholy, lovers of pleasure rather than the lovers of God, among so many other things. So yes, we should be aware of these things, but I encourage you to focus on the passage of Scripture in Matthew 7, verse 21 to 23. Which says, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in the heaven. Many will say to me in that day, 'Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, and done many wonders in your name?' And then I will declare to them, 'I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness.'" Whether these are the last days or not, the 11th hour or not, you and I as believers need to make sure that we enter the kingdom of heaven through the one who is the way, the truth, and the life, and that is Jesus Christ. Jesus, who explicitly said, "No one comes to the Father except through me." You and I need to make sure that we are not found to be the ones who, the Bible states, many will say, "Lord, Lord, I have done many wonders in your name." But God will say, "I never knew you. Depart from me." So rather than look at each and everything happening in the world and focusing your time and energy with a checklist, focus your time and energy on seeking God. That should be our sole focus. To know God, to have a right relationship with God, so that when we stand before Him, we will hear the words, "Well done."
Our God is a forgiving and merciful God. He is slow to anger, and He is abounding in love. And to put it in perspective, we sin every single day. We fall short every single day. But the Lord forgives us over and over again. However, today I want to highlight that although sin is sin in God's eyes, there are certain sins that are particularly detestable to God. These are a group of sins that are deadly. And of all the detestable sins that a person could commit, there is one that stands out as the most wicked and abominable in the sight of the Lord. This is blasphemy against the Holy Spirit. Jesus specifically mentioned this unforgivable sin in Matthew chapter 12, verse 31, saying, "Therefore I tell you, every sin and blasphemy will be forgiven people, but the blasphemy against the Spirit will not be forgiven." The definition of blasphemy, when looked up in the dictionary, is the action or offense of speaking sacrilegiously about God or sacred things, profane talk. So why does Jesus say blasphemy can be forgiven in any form except for when it is directed at the Holy Spirit? The next verse gives us some context and clarification. In verse 32, he says, "And whoever speaks a word against the Son of Man will be forgiven, But whoever speaks against the Holy Spirit will not be forgiven, either in this age or in the age to come. That might be confusing to some. Why is blasphemy against the Spirit worse than blaspheming the Son? Jesus makes it clear that the unforgivable blasphemy he is referring to isn't just saying something mean about God. It's not simply mocking or talking disrespectfully about the Son. Although this is definitely still a sin, one can repent from it completely and God will forgive the sinner. The blasphemy against the Spirit isn't simply a bad thought or word. It is the active rejection of the Holy Spirit, His message, and His work. This includes attributing the work of the Holy Spirit to the devil. Blaspheming against the Spirit is when one continuously says no to Him when He calls, even though that person recognizes Him. This type of blasphemy was evident in the Pharisees and Sadducees in the New Testament. Deep in their hearts, they knew Jesus was from God and that His miraculous power was from the Holy Spirit, yet they accused Him of casting out demons by the power of Beelzebub. In other words, they called the Holy Spirit a fraud. They consistently put Jesus' power to the test and questioned His authority, despite witnessing His amazing works. This is what blaspheming the Holy Spirit looks and sounds like. So if all other sins are forgivable, we can just sin and do as we wish and expect God to forgive us, right? No, it doesn't work that way. There is a stark difference between occasionally falling short of God's glory or struggling with sin, as we all do, and living a life of wickedness and sin. All humankind has inherited original sin from Adam and Eve. There is no doubt about that. However, a Christian who has the Holy Spirit dwelling within them feels convicted of sin and repents. A wicked person who does not have God's Spirit living in them does not even care about the sins they're committing. In fact, a wicked person boasts about their sin or takes pride in it. This wickedness is often referred to as iniquity in the Bible. Psalms chapter 5, verse 5 reads, "The boastful shall not stand in your sight. You hate all workers of iniquity." These workers of iniquity are the wicked ones who are submerged in sin and have no intention of turning away from it. Iniquity is a strong word, stronger than the word sin. Iniquity is immorality, evil, wickedness, darkness. Now, you will find that Proverbs chapter 6, verse 16 to 19 explicitly states the six things that God hates and seven things that He detests. The seven abominations listed are a proud look, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that devises wicked plans, feet that are swift in running to evil, a false witness who speaks lies, and one who sows discord among brethren. The reason these seven are detestable to God are because they come from an impure heart. A heart that is in direct opposition to God. A heart that is in rebellion to God. These seven things not only offend Him, but they disgust Him. They are vile acts to a pure and holy God. As Christians, we need to be conscious of how we live, act, think, and behave, making sure not to do any of these things that God detests. But the most important sin to avoid at all costs is blaspheming the Holy Spirit. This sin won't be forgiven, either in this age or the one to come, the Lord says. This particular sin will cost us our eternal life. The one who commits this sin will be condemned to spend eternity in hell. But nothing should be more important to us than ensuring we spend our eternity in heaven. So how do we avoid this sin? We need to welcome the Holy Spirit into our lives and allow Him to dwell in us. Paul advises us in Ephesians 4, verse 30, not grieve the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the actual third person of the Trinity. He has feelings and emotions, so we should respond to His convictions and guidance, making sure not to ignore Him or lock Him out of our lives. As believers who are filled with this Holy Spirit, we will be more inclined to do what pleases God rather than being workers of iniquity. This is the work of the Spirit. He encourages us to do the right thing. We need Him in our lives because He helps us to resist temptation and to stand firm against sin, especially those detestable sins mentioned in Proverbs. Jesus says this of the Holy Spirit in John 16, verse 8. And when He has come, He will convict the world of sin, and of righteousness, and of judgment. The Holy Spirit is our helper, our advocate, who teaches us all things and reminds us of God's laws, commandments, and promises. Let's invite Him in. Let's tell Him that He is welcome and needed. Let's listen to His soft, gentle voice when He speaks to us. And finally, let's respond to Him as He convicts us to repent and calls us to follow Christ.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
It's Pro Savings Days at Lowe's. Get up to 35% off select major appliances and save an additional $1,000 when you buy four select LG major appliances. Plus, get a free DeWalt 20-volt max 5-amp-hour battery when you buy a select DeWalt 20-volt max tool. Get the job done for less at Lowe's. We help. You save. Valid through 9/26. Selection varies by location while supplies last. See associate or Lowe's.com for more details and qualifying items.